You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It's a good morning to you, and you are tuned in to the Adventist World Radio, SID Media's breakfast show. This is the glorious morning show, and as we do every particular Thursday, we take some time to go through our author's corner, where we celebrate the authors in our midst and the offerings in terms of books that they write, which are there to edify and to uplift us. And this morning, we are going to be interviewing Pastor Johnson Nyirenda. Pastor Lyndon comes through to us as we delve into the intersection of faith and public life. We're going to be sitting with our author for the week, right, Mfundisi Nyirenda, who brings us a unique perspective to one of the most debated topics of our time. His recent work explores the complex relationship between religious conviction and political engagement, challenging us to rethink how biblical principles inform modern leadership and social justice. He joins us now on the line. Mfundisi, good morning to you and welcome.
Thank you.
Trusting that we find you well.
I am okay. How are you?
No, we're doing all right. Thank you so much for this. Thank you again for also taking a moment to join us in conversation, especially about this latest offering of yours, Politics and Christianity. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
So, Pastor, to start off with, what inspired you to write this book, Politics and Christianity? Is it some experience maybe that had come through? Or maybe it's just you saying you want to answer a need in the community?
Well, the first time I was requested by the SID, the Biblical Research Committee from the SID, to present a paper. Mm-hmm. That paper would work as a springboard to make a statement, an official statement.
All right.
On politics and Christianity by SID.
Wow. Okay.
So I did the paper. It was a 20-page paper. I was really helped by Mr. Tulang Kosi, a South African. I think he died maybe a year ago.
Yes, yes.
And out of that, the interest grew to make this book now. So this book came out of the research that I did for the church, and I thought it would be nice if we have a standalone,
much more comprehensive,
a monograph,
yeah,
just on that topic alone.
Fascinating, fascinating. And I can imagine its need, right? Because many people feel like, they believe that faith and politics should never mix. I mean, we grew up, the church is founded on the backbone of church and state must always be separate. Maybe talk to us about this whole concept. How does the book address this idea from your research?
Yeah, so the book addresses this idea that we have always sung, we have always preached that we should dare to be a Daniel. What we don't say is that Daniel was not a pastor. Daniel was a politician, and yet a good politician. He did his work as a politician, and mm-hmm. governments loved him. Mm-hmm. And so the notion that faith and politics should never mix is actually not biblical. Biblically, you have people that were good followers of God who were also good politicians. Mm-hmm. Joseph, Moses, Daniel, all those were people that worked in the governments, but never made the blunders that we see today. And that is what the book is all about, that people should not fear. Instead, they should dare to be a Daniel. The song that we have been singing, now put it in practice.
I like that. Although, if we were in another platform, Mfundisi, I would have asked a clarifying question to say, but actually, these people you mentioned as politicians did not set out to be. They were cast into this realm of politics by default, in fact, by force, because all of them were in some way, shape, or form there out of their own volition, out of slavery, out of captivity, be it Joseph, be it Daniel, be it the Hebrew boys, to say, what of today, where people go and choose to be politicians? That's almost, that isn't that contra-biblical? But like I said, it will be in another show. Maybe we can bring you on to answer that one. What I would want to find out now is to say, what would you say is the biggest mistake that Christians make when they engage in politics, especially looking from the perspective you're saying, to say the politicians in scripture were not pastors? What is that supposed to mean?
So the greatest mistake that many politicians they make is that they go there not with the godly manner. They go there to assimilate in the culture of that society or that country. Mm. And so you find that there are a lot of vices in politics. This book, chapter 2 of the book, discusses all those vices that are there, including things like tribalism, racism, corruption. And so if a Christian goes there without a stand, they go there straight into the fire. That's a major mistake that many people commit. But, you know, you asked me a question. I'll tackle it another time. But you find that even in today's world, we have people in these bad societies that have come out clean. Like in Uganda, during the time of Idi Amin, you know, the prime minister was an Adventist by the name of Dr. Samson Kisaka.
Wow.
He was powerful. Even though the whole world found Idi Amin to be a bad man, no one found a bad thing that man did.
Wow.
So that even the next governments that came still picked him and worked with him so that they build their country. So it is not just in the Bible, but even in today's world, we have had people, good Christians, who went into politics, but they did not go with the mistake of being assimilated. Instead, they went without any compromise. I'm a Christian, and I'm going to work for my country, because the major problem is the definition of the word politics itself. Many people don't know that politics is about governance. Many people think politics is about fighting.
It's a dirty word.
But actually, politics is about governance.
Yeah.
To govern a nation, to govern a society, that's all.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point you raise, Maruti, because when you say you're a politician, we've already drawn a conclusion about you. And you're saying that no, in fact, life cannot be lived without politics, can it? Right? Everything involves politics, you need it. Mfundisi, with so many political parties, I mean, from a two-state nation to a multi-party nation, there is a lot of political polarization with ideologies backing those up. How can this book help bridge the gap, especially between the people who are finding themselves with different political affiliations? I mean, there are certain circles that they tell you, stay away from religion, stay away from politics, because these are divisive, these are controversial. This book, does this assist in at least trying to bridge that gap?
Yes, so you find that, as I started mentioning, politics is about governance. And so you go into politics either as a frontliner, as a member of parliament.
All right.
So that means by vote, but you can also go there by appointment. Most of the parastatos, people go there by appointment.
Yes.
And that is those are all political positions. To be a director general of a radio station, a government radio station or a TV, to man as maybe a principal secretary or minister of agriculture, those are all political positions. And so you are looking at governance. That is the major issue that a Christian is supposed to have. And so looking at our own teaching from the Bible, as Proverbs 22 tells us, teach children while they are still young, so that even when they grow up, they will never depart from it. If you teach the children the right, the correct way of doing things, of running government, you find that they will not have a problem when they go into government, because they will be looking at governance. And we have a lot of our youth that have gone to different private and public universities. They come back from there, they go into those positions, and they are afraid to be members of parliament, but they are working their jobs directly as politicians because of the positions that they hold, either appointed positions or elected positions. And so you find that the bridging itself is that regardless of the differences of political views, if your point is governance, it will come out with the same outcome. The outcome will be the same. It doesn't matter whether you belong to a DA or ANC or whatever it will be.
Yeah.
If it is about governance, it will come out with the same outcome because you are standing on a principle.
stand on
as a Christian
principle.
That is what the gap is. Mm. That is what we are trying to bridge. We're bridging that gap by using a Christian principle.
So is that what you would advise? I'm thinking if someone was to approach you and say, Mfundisi, I see you've kind of done a lot of research in this field of politics and Christianity and the intersection thereof. And this young person comes to you and says, Mfundisi, can you give me some advice? I want to go into this. What would that be then? Is this the kind of advice you would then let them know to say, go in there, but go in there with a backbone of Christianity? What would you say to that young person?
That is exactly what I would say, because that is what the church has been teaching for all these years.
Mm.
We have been silent because, you know, most of us don't read, but actually the spirit of prophecy itself, Ellen White writes again and again, encouraging the youth of her time to go into politics, but to stand morally upright so that they vote according to the morals. When people are voting for tobacco, vote against it. When people are voting for alcohol, vote against it. You can't vote it when you are not there. You have to be at the table and then show that moral. And that is what Ellen White used to teach in her writings. This book has a lot of quotations from Sister White about this political stand. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
There's a quotation on page 80 of my book saying, men of temperance have been in the office today in a flattering manner, expressing their approbation of the course of the Sabbath keepers not voting, and expressed hopes that they will stick to their course, and like the Quakers, not to cast their vote. Satan and his angels, his evil angels, are busy at this time, and he has workers upon the earth. May Satan be disappointed. In other words, the statement was saying was, don't be like the Quakers. The Quakers are saying, don't vote. The Quakers are saying, don't join the politics. But we Adventists are saying, join. And then later on, she mentions several other aspects that I have mentioned before. Go into the place where they are voting and vote right. Mm. Vote the truth. But, vote the Bible. Vote God.
Can I ask you a question, though, Mfundisi? In your research, like you're saying, the book is filled with these quotations encouraging us to be positively influenced, influencing politics. These questions, are they saying vote, which is a layperson, not somebody who is involved as in a politician themselves, but saying as citizens, you need to then be involved in the goings on of your country, so you, when a referendum comes, you can go and have a conversation about that. When an election comes, you can go and decide by casting a vote. Is the call for lay people to then vote, or is it a call for politicians to be Christians, for Christians to be politicians? If you come across a direct one where it says, go out there and become a politician.
So I have several quotations that show. But it is not just about voting. Voting is an individual right that everyone wants to exercise it in their own right. But more than voting, to labor, the word labor means working.
Mm-hmm.
So Ellen White uses that English word. Men are supposed to go in and labor with their influence.
Mm.
So on issues of religious liberty, on issues of Sabbath keeping, on issues of drinking or making beer or growing tobacco and such things. You need people that can not just vote for a person, but vote for the bill. So they need to sit in that parliament and vote and discuss. That way their influence will go beyond the voting on the voting day.
Certainly. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. I think we'll invite you to come on a different platform where we can then engage a bit more on some of these points you're raising here. What has been the most surprising feedback, perhaps? I mean, the book has been out now and you probably have been receiving some feedback. What's that like? Have you received anything that's been a bit surprising for you, especially from someone who's already engaged the book?
That's right. There are two that stand out for me.
Yeah.
The first one was from a fellow worker in Malawi who said, no, we shouldn't even mention politics. And so, trashing the book altogether, no, this book is not supposed to be on our shelves.
Mm.
But another one was from a professor at Andrews University who loved the book and encouraged me to publish. When he read the manuscript, said, no, no, this should be published because most of our people outside the outside America don't have this information. So when you write these books, people start reading them, and it encouraged me. It was a surprise for me because I thought he would say no. But then he said, no, actually, to join politics is a Christian duty, just like to join teaching, just like to join pastoral work. It's a call, just like to join nursing or medical field.
I like it. I like it. I like it. It's a calling, just like any other professional field right there. Well, Mfundisi, thank you so much. Before we wrap up, I want to give you an opportunity to read an excerpt from the book. I mean, is there something that you have from the book, maybe a specific anecdote or a chapter in the book that you found particularly difficult or exciting to write? And is there something you want to share from us, with us rather, from the pages of your writings?
Just one statement. I think it is on page 85 that I say the church has played a mixed role in the history of political liberty.
Yeah.
At times it has suppressed political, religious, or economic liberty. At times it has been a champion of regime change or political backbone of a nation. The state religions and state churches are a good example of these things. Though Christianity is not a political program, it nevertheless gives a certain way of thinking about the state and the role of politics. This statement to me is very powerful because it shows the importance of Christian teaching towards governance in our schools, in our governments, in our societies. Without these teachings, we'll all go lost. So we need a backbone of what it is that we know. Yeah. That's the reason why I started by saying there to be a Daniel.
Yes.
That statement is a big statement. We have not thought it through. One day we should think it through. We should think who Daniel was, why different governments still chose him, because although he was a politician, but he was standing on the principles of God.
I love it. I love it. And you know, when you say different governments chose him, looking at it from today's context, Mfundisi, it's a simple thing. I mean, there are many governments, in fact, many politicians switch sides. This one, this year they are this side, the next year they are that one. Then they start their own party, then they dissolve it and join another party. It's a simple thing. But in the days of Daniel, for you to be chosen by a new king, a new whole new regime, that's something. That's something. That's something.
That's the reason why we need to go back to that story and reread it, because sometimes we just think Daniel was a prophet. No, he was working in the government. He was a government official.
He was a civil servant. Indeed. Indeed.
Yes. The Bible mentions he was the third in line of ruling.
Of an empire. Of an empire. Pastor, for readers who will take this book up, we're talking about the book that we're discussing here, Politics and Christianity. If they're to take one action after reading the book, what would you want to call them to? What's that action all about?
I would love to see many young people standing for the truth.
Okay.
And you don't stand for the truth like what Jesus says. You don't light a candle and hide it. You light it and let it shine forth.
Put it on
in
the table.
Same way, you join politics not for your own enrichment. You join politics for the benefit of the people around you. Those that are voiceless, you become their voice.
Yes.
Those that cannot be reachable, you become their bridge. So that in the end, you have contributed towards their well-being. When that is the mindset that we have, let our youth go into politics and let them make a difference in the lives of many.
Let them make a difference. Let them make a difference. Mfundisi, where can people get the book, Politics and Christianity?
Right now it is on Amazon. So they can buy it online. It is bought as an ebook, but they can also order it to their shelves. I also have a very good friend, a pastor in South Africa, Pastor Wandi Lebangisi, who can also provide the book for them.
Okay.
I have also a friend at Rusangu University in Zambia who has the book. I can provide details later on. And in Malawi, there is a education director of Malawi Union has this this book and other books.
I like it. Okay, we'll get your contact details then when we wrap up. But maybe before we then do that, what's next? What's next on your writer's desk? Can we expect something else? Is it going to be on the same lines, or are you venturing into something different?
Right now, I'm finishing a book. That's my 9th book on syncretism and renewal. That's the one I'm just finishing now. I've finished editing. It's discussing the problem that we have that as Christians, when Christianity came to us, we joined Christianity, but we carried with us our African baggage of witchcraft and voodoo and all. So there are many people that are in the church, but still practicing the things that the church says no to these, the bad ones. They are still there in the church because of this problem of syncretism. That's my 9th book, but I've written several others that are also on Amazon. So if you Google my name, you'll find several books there. I think 7 of them that will be already up on and ready for grabs.
Wonderful stuff. Yes. Wonderful stuff. Well, we can't wait to see it. Funisi, we can't wait to also have you on the platform to speak more on that. Do share your contact details so that when they get in touch with you, you can then direct them to the contact that's nearest to them.
Thank you. So my contact details are, you can write me an email at joelyndon74@gmail.com. That's joelyndon74@gmail.com. I think that's the most direct email that you can reach me. And out of that, we can direct each other on how to get them.
Perfect.
Even if it is not from the people that I've mentioned, we can still have a way of getting the book to anyone around the globe.
Certainly. Well, Mfundisi, thank you so much, and thank you for your time right here this morning. We want to just appreciate you, and all the best with the book as well.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to have me in this platform. Thank you.
Pastor Nyirenda there joining us, Pastor Johnson Lyndon Nyirenda, who was sharing with us this morning about his work, a book titled Politics and Christianity. Quite something that is controversial, but needed, as these are real issues that we deal with on an everyday basis. It's available on Amazon, Politics and Christianity. In case you want something a bit more personal, you can, of course, get in touch with the pastor, Joe Lyndon. That's joelyndon74 at gmail.com.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.